AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt, Brett, have they found the Inver Grove Heights goat yet?
There's a missing goat?
It's not a missing goat. It seems to have its own agenda going on. Apparently, it's popping up all over the place in Inver Grove Heights. It's an angry-looking goat, too. Just apparently showing up at people's doorsteps on the side of the highway. And they're having trouble catching the goat. Which, by the way, come on, humanity. We can do better, can't we? It's a goat.
It's out there looking for Bigfoot.
Where did the goat come? You'd think someone would be missing their goat. I'm presuming that Invergrove Heights has rules which allow like chicken coops and maybe some small livestock, and that's what I'm guessing this is coming from, because I can't believe there's a nearby goat farm in Invergrove Heights.
A whole goat farm? Yeah, I'm really sure about that.
Not in the Twin Cities, unless there are some. I know they're working on the smells in South Minneapolis right now, but I don't think that was goat farm related. So, we'll keep you up to date. I'm going to keep an update on the goat issue over in Invergrove Heights and see if we can when they eventually do find this, and maybe we all have some feta cheese. I don't know if we go with that. Brett, I did want to make a quick point as well. I was over at Rudy Luther Toyota today. I had to get service on the minivan after the big drive we did down in South Carolina. Hands down, they could actually have the greatest popcorn in the entire metro area at Rudy Luther Toyota over in Golden Valley.
I like their cookies, though.
They got good cookies, but the popcorn is amazing. I had 3 bags of it. It's really good. Movie theaters only wish they were that good.
Why didn't you bring any for me?
Because it did not make it, man. I put it in the car. It was marked with bread on there. I said, he doesn't need to know about this till later. And no, I go over there and get some of the popcorn. If you've got a vehicle, get a service, get some popcorn. If you need a car, just go do a test drive and get some popcorn for the whole family. Trust me, you'll agree with me on this. It's delicious. And thank you very much for Rudy Luther Toyota sponsoring AM 950. Democrat of the day, we got Jeff Stein coming up here in a little bit to go over national politics, but let's get local. Jim Reed is running in 13A. He's Democrat of the day, and he's kind enough to join us this afternoon to talk about his campaign. Hey, Jim.
Hi, thank you for inviting me, Matt. I was going to say, if I'm elected, I promise to help find a goat, which they're talking about.
Can you wrangle a goat, Jim? Because, I don't know why they're having such a hard time getting the Invergrove Heights goat wrangled up.
Well, I don't think I can, but there's lots of people who live in my district that could probably do that. I'm riding in a predominantly rural and small-town district, and one of my supporters who drives me has raised goats, so I think he could probably help you with that.
I've got a great idea. We're going to send some people out of the Metro Corps over to help you in your district. You send some goat wranglers to Invergrove Heights. I think we call that a fair trade.
Oh, yeah, that's a deal. Thanks.
13A, I think for most people, the best way to describe it is just west of St. Cloud, right?
Yes, it's west and south of St. Cloud. So it doesn't include St. Cloud. The towns included in the district are St. Joseph, Avon, where I live, Collegeville, where College of St. Benedict and St. John's University are in St. Joseph, and Collegeville, that's where I teach, Cold Spring, Rockville, Richmond, Painesville, Roscoe, Eden Valley, Kimball, and then a lot of township areas in between that have a pretty significant population, although it tends to be spread out in small developments, in farms, and along lakes.
By the way, you'll be seeing me up in Collegeville. We'll be doing my son's getting to that age. We're going to start touring some colleges, so we're going to be coming up to your district.
All right, great. Good to hear that.
Tell us a little bit about your background. It sounds like you do work for the university system.
Yes, I teach in the political science department of the College of St. Benedict and St. John's University. I've done that now for 30 years. So it's my job to make sure that young men and young women understand how our political system works, and I encourage them to be active and informed citizens. Most of the students that I teach are very idealistic. They care about the environment. They care about fairness to people of all backgrounds. But many of them haven't gotten the habit of translating that into political action. So that's part of what I encourage them to do, regardless of their political point of view. I want them to be active, informed citizens. So I've been there for 30 years. I ran for the legislature back in 1992 when I was in my early 30s, and had only been teaching at St. John's and St. Ben's for a few years as a newcomer to a, you know, a very rooted district. Many people thought I didn't have a chance, that I was going to get blown out. I door knocked extensively in 1992 and ended up coming 98 votes short in a recount out of more than 15,000 votes. So that tells me, first of all, that the door knocking works. I would not have come close if it hadn't been for that. It also told me that every vote counts. When I go talking with a voter, I always think this person could be the deciding vote. And I ended up then writing a book about that experience, not necessarily to celebrate my own campaign, but to give a portrayal of what a door-to-door campaign is like, because many people have done it, but there have been very few books about it. And I kept my notes of my conversations with voters. So I came out with the book, Doorstep Democracy, Face-to-Face Politics in the Heartland. So now I am reliving that book. I decided to run again for the Minnesota House this year. And in this case, it was there are particular issues that I care about: health care, preserving the environment, education, and respect for people of all races and backgrounds. Those are important issues to me. My main reason was concern for the future of our democracy. I feel that the fabric of our democracy is in danger of being ripped because we are so deeply and toxically divided right now as a people. There are many people who have told me that they have gotten out of the habit or cannot even talk to somebody that disagrees with them politically. And this comes from people on both sides of the political spectrum. And that's not a healthy situation for our democracy. So I felt it was important to do my part to try to change that. So I am, again, going out, going door to door. I've been to more than 7,000 households already. And I engage people in conversation. I go to every door on a street, whether that person is likely to support me, oppose me, or in between. I'm willing to talk with anybody. And, of course, I hope to persuade them to vote for me. And many people really appreciate the personal visit. Many people say, you're the first candidate who's ever stopped to talk to me. But even if I don't persuade them to vote for me, I at least want to come away from that conversation respecting one another as fellow citizens, not enemies. I want to set an example for people of all sides that we can, again, have civil conversations. Politics does not need to be about attacking people, spitting on them, threatening to throw them in jail. That's not democratic, but healthy democratic politics. So I'm trying to set an example of healthy, a respectful conversation between citizens in the way that I campaign.
It's great. I think one of the things that's the best things that's happened this election cycle is the DFL is remembering that FNL stand for farm and labor. And it's, yeah. It's easy when you see the failures of the Republicans who have promised a lot of things and have not delivered. When you're doing these door knocking, what are the issues which are, I've got to believe, because we've talked to a lot of outstate candidates, healthcare has got to be up there as well. But what are the issues you're catching in 13A right now?
Well, I have more discussions about healthcare than anything else. And, you know, this is an enormous stress for lots of people of different ages. It's for farmers, nearly every farm family that I've talked to so far has benefits only because somebody works off farm in a non-farm job for benefits and then has to come back and do their farm work. Small business owners are really challenged by this. Anybody who's working less than part-time, you talk to somebody who's working 30 hours, they're really often out in the cold for benefits. Anybody who's changed jobs. And then anybody who is diabetic and has to face the cost of insulin. So the healthcare situation can come in many forms. And what I tell people is that I don't have a magic wand. I don't promise that it will be easy to fix, but I do promise I'm not going to give up on it. And that if there were one thing I could accomplish if elected, it would be I would like it to be to make progress on health care. To me, I would like to see a system that works the way that Medicare works. I don't claim that Medicare is perfect, but there's so many really good things about Medicare. Everybody pays into it. Everybody takes out of it. You don't lose it by changing jobs. You don't lose it by moving from one place to another. You don't lose it if you get divorced. I've talked to people who have held off on getting divorced until they get their respective health care benefit situations worked out. So that's an enormous stress, and I have lots of conversations about that. Probably the next most frequent thing that we have conversations about is when somebody says to me, why can't the parties stop fighting and get something done? People are really discouraged by how the party battles that seem to end in these sort of partisan train wrecks. And I don't claim that either side is innocent in this. So I assure them that I am willing to work across party lines if there is some willingness on the other side, and it's something in which we can make a principled compromise. So those are probably the two most frequent things. When I'm near lakes, there's the whole horseshoe chain of lakes runs through the heart of my district. There's a lot of lakes. I'll often talk about invasive species. We'll have conversations about protecting Minnesota's lakes and streams. That, too, is an issue that people care about across party lines. And then finally, education, especially with kids in school. There's lots of conversations about that.
You know, one of the things I think you can also bring up when you bring up the part of about the party and things getting done is that things don't get done. You're running for a House seat. Things don't get done when the Speaker of the House holds a 1,000-page bill till 3 hours before the vote, chucks it at the other party, says, you've had enough time to look at it, when 95% of it's brand new, and then says, vote now. That's not representing the state. That's not representing districts. That's basically forcing agenda. Just to something as simple as going back to what the state constitution says is that each bill gets its own hearing and its own vote. I think that alone would clean up a lot of stuff right there.
Yes, and that's a textbook case of a bad process and a process that makes our party divisions worse. So I bring that up, and I say, I point out to people that in that 900-page bill that essentially the Republicans put in that bill, about half of it were things that the Republicans and the Democrats were not deeply divided on. And the other half were things that were like a partisan wish list for the Republicans. So they put all those things together in the same bill. And in a sense, we're holding the things that the parties can agree upon hostage in order to get the things that were the partisan wish list. Mm. They said, essentially, we will dare Governor Dayton to veto this. And so he did. And so that's a textbook case of a bad process. What would have been much better, and this is what I will press for if I'm elected, if there are things the parties agree upon, and there really are some, that they're not far apart, separate those out. Get those things passed early in the session, and we owe it to the people, if you can't agree at 100%, at least work on the 50% that you can compromise on, and then you can spend the rest of the time fighting over the other 50%.
I know you've got to get going here because you're doing some door knocking. What community are you door knocking?
I'm going to be heading down to Painesville today.
So okay.
I'm be door knocking, and then I'm going to door knock in Painesville for about two and a half hours. Then I'm going to come back and door knock on the campus in the dormitories of College of St. Benedict, because all the students at the College of St. Benedict and St. John's University, they're all of voting age. They can vote in Collegeville or St. Joseph if they choose. As long as they are U.S. citizens and full-time students, they can vote on – they can declare St. Joseph or Collegeville as their resident. They just can't vote in both places in the same election.
Mm-hmm. It's empowering, and I think that's definitely one thing that needs to happen more of is empowering young voters to say you can make a big difference here. This is the point.
Go ahead. Yeah, and I say to the students, you know, I say you guys are idealistic. You care about a lot of things. You have a voice that should be listened to. But the cold truth of politics is people don't listen to your voice unless you put your votes behind it. And I think they're beginning to understand that.
This is the point, Jim, where I make the plea on everyone listening in the metro area right now. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of great Democrats out there. Mine is Cheryl Youakim. I think she's a pretty strong mm-hmm. candidate to win her district. Help your local candidate. But once you're done there, we need to flip some of these outstate seats. Mm-hmm. Jim Reed's seat is a prime example. It's an open seat. This is a winnable
seat. It's an
open seat,
yeah.
13A, just to the west and the southwest of St. Cloud. Very easy to get to. Jim, what's the best way if people want to find out how they can donate, how they can volunteer, help you door knock throughout 13A? How can they get that information?
Well, the easiest way to donate would be go to my campaign website. So it's www.jimreedforrep.com. It's JimReedForRep.com. There's a donation link there. You can also see links on some of the issues. There's a volunteer link on the website, but the quickest way to volunteer, the way I'll see it fastest, is if you email me, jimreedforrep@gmail.com, jimreedforrep@gmail.com. Some of the things volunteers can do for us, we have begun group door knocks. We had a good, large number of people group door knocking last Saturday. We're going to be doing group door knocks a couple days a week. And it's important for a group door knock that the people who go out, I do want them to meet me. They should get a sense of what I'm like, where I'm coming from, why they could support somebody like me. And then in the script of the group door knock, also they should say why they personally are supporting me and why they think this election is so important. So it's not just dropping lid and going on to the next door. It's engaging people in conversation, which is what I do as a candidate. I think people are thirsty for real conversation. They're tired of just the robocalls and the partisan blasts and the super PAC attack ads. They want real conversation, and that's what I welcome and invite people to do who would like to help on my campaign.
Well, and you've quite literally wrote the book on door knocking in a campaign. Yeah. So you've done to do this. All right. So
I enjoy doing it too. You can't do something like this without enjoying the process, without enjoying the conversations.
Jim Reed, R-E-A-D, rep.com. That's the website. And Jim Reed for rep@gmail.com. That's the email. We'll put all that stuff out a little bit later on. All my best as you head out to Painesville. All my best as you head out to the College of St. Benedict. And drive safe. And all my best tonight. And by all means, people, get out there and help Jim Reed in 13A.
Yeah, thank you very much for inviting me on your show today.
I appreciate it. Jim Reed, Democrat of the day. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Northeast Minneapolis is known for its creativity, and you'll know exactly why when you eat at Hazel's Northeast. Their creatively prepared comfort food will have you coming back week after week. Breakfasts like biscuits and gravy, granola pancakes, and brisket hash. For lunch, homemade soup and one of the best Reubens in town. And don't miss the daily risotto or Chef Ali's ever-changing dinner specials. Come on in, bring the whole family. Hazel's Northeast delivers real good food. Family-owned at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis.
Fall is an important time to call the window washing and exterior cleaning experts Blue Sky Services to prevent seasonal changes and potential winter damage. Look at your roof. Do you have black streaks, blotches, or algae? Don't wait for the cold to have these freeze. Cleaning is much cheaper than replacement. September's schedule is filling quickly, so don't neglect your windows, gutters, or siding cleaning. Call 651-447-4484 to book your fall cleaning before their busy season schedule fills, and tell them that you're an AM 950 listener. That's 651-447-4484 or blueskyservices.com.
With school back in session, thank goodness I have my Toyota Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota in Golden Valley. Seriously, I could not manage my schedule without it. Music lessons, sports practices, school activities, the Sienna is perfect for getting the kiddos to class, hauling instruments and school projects around, or when it's my day to be the team carpool. My Toyota is roomy, comfortable, and has all the safety features I demand for my family. See how a Toyota Sienna can help you tackle your back-to-school schedule. Test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Be sure to pick up your copy of this month's Natural Awakenings magazine, a free local guide to a healthier and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely, local, national, and global stories. Learn about alternative and complementary medicine, nutrition, fitness for body and mind, personal growth, sustainability, and much more. Natural Awakenings can be found at area health food stores, food co-ops, and retail locations. More information is available at naturaltwincities.com. That's naturaltwincities.com.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor with RBC Wealth Management. For the past 19 years, I've been managing wealth for individuals, institutions, and corporate retirement plan sponsors. Throughout my career, I have seen common traits in successful investors. They include the courage to be diversified, the willingness to work with a professional, the discipline to follow a plan, and patience. I welcome the opportunity to help contribute to your financial success. Call me at 612-371-2396.
All right, I've just been given some advice here in regards to our Invergrove Heights goat from Lori, who's watching us. Hi, Lori. Watching the show on the Facebook live stream. She says there's a group in St. Paul, the Retrievers. I just discovered them on Facebook here. They've got a Facebook page. They usually deal with dogs, but they might be able to get the goat. So you might want to contact them. If you see the Invergrove Heights goat, we don't want the goat hurt. Although, considering goats and what they can, goats can pretty much eat anything. I don't think it's necessarily, I don't think it's starving to death anytime soon. There's plenty of food around. But we want to be careful with it. We don't want, anything bad to come of the Invergrove Heights goat. So she recommended maybe trying to get in touch with the Retrievers. Like what I said, it's a group that usually takes care of dogs, but they might be able to help out in that case. 952-946-6205. Jim Reed, thank you. Thank you very much. What a great 13A. And guys, I know that that might be a little bit more of a moderate Democrat than you like. The reality is Jim Reed, I think, has discovered the DFL type of DFL candidate that wins in these districts. And he, if you heard him, he's very much a Democrat. I mean, what he was saying are Democratic issues. But he's just, he basically knows how to present it in a way where when you're in a district where it is notoriously far right red, that you basically can go on out there and win still and get close. And he gets that. And this door knocking is insanely important, especially since most Republicans are terrified of door knocking this election cycle. They promised health care. They have not delivered. And it is the issue of the day. Speaking of which, I wanted to bring up something. First of all, I'm over at Rudy Luther Toyota getting my service done, and they had one of the TVs on. It was on KSTP. And, of course, every Democratic hit ad that is taking a shot at the Democrats is running on KSTP. What a shocker, huh? I know. But they had one. They were going after Dean Phillips in 3, and their argument was he doesn't want to give people health care. It's like, wait a minute here, guys. You might as well just call him a Republican then. Now, if you called him a Republican, that actually might hurt him in the campaign. But if you're a Republican and saying they want to take away health care, you need to see where you're standing. Because I can tell you, you're not exactly on the pro-health care side. You're on the pre-existing conditions, let them die, bankruptcy or death side. And so that was kind of funny. I also condemned, and I put a post out there on the Facebook and the Twitter feed, condemning Star Tribune. They got a page that talks about health care, and they're saying that there are 243,000 Minnesotans who do not have health care right now, basically about 4% of the population. And their argument was the number they put in there was 18,000 because the number increased to 18,000. I said, well, they buried the lead. The lead is 243,000, not 18,000. And if that was ever an attempt to basically diffuse a tough topic, I don't know what it is, but shame on the Star Tribune. The head of the House Republicans campaign arm said he was unaware completely until asked by reporters last week that one of his top recruits celebrated the death of a political opponent, made sexist remarks about others, and offered the host a host of other offensive comments in his stint as a political blogger. A Jim Hagedorn. We haven't gone down and talked about one lately. Why not? The Republican nominee in Minnesota's 1st Congressional District, a prime Republican pickup opportunity, and one of the National Republican Congressional Committee Chairman Steve Stivers, a Republican from Ohio, is described as a national bellwether. It will be Hagedorn's 4th House run. His previous efforts have all been marred by a long stream of highly controversial and offensive remarks he made between 2002 and 2012 on his now-defunct website, Mr. Conservative. Hagedorn infamously dubbed Washington's 2 U.S. senators, both women, undeserving bimbos in tennis shoes. Really? Now, can I actually ask a quick point here? You're saying these comments come from 2002 to 2012. To my knowledge, we've never had in that time period, there weren't two U.S. senators who were female. That's a new comment. Because to my knowledge, the first time we ever had two female senators was when Tina Smith was appointed by Governor Dayton. That's the first time we had two senators who are female serving in Minnesota. Am I wrong on that one, Brad?
I've seen this story. I think he may have been referring to a couple of national senators looking at this story. But to be honest, that's kind of the least of what he said. He said some other horrible things.
Let's get into them. He wrote that Harriet Meyer's nomination for the Supreme Court was an effort to fill the bra of Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. He dubbed the former House Republican's alleged abuse victim white trash, called Native American reservations, casino parlors, and redistribution of wealth centers, and suggested that former Senator Joe Lieberman bucked his party on the Iraq War due to his Jewish faith. In his election 2002 masterpiece analysis, Hagedorn wrote, "Good news from Hawaii, Patty Mink is still dead. Bad news from Hawaii, some other communist will win her congressional seat." On election night 2008, he predicted that Barack Obama's victory would usher in mass migration from Kenya. Hagedorn's campaign pointed out the fact that it since apologized for many of the remarks on the site, saying the statement during the 2014 congressional run, "Some of my hard-hitting and tongue-in-cheek commentary was less than artfully constructed." Dude, you sound like a racist, misogynist jackass. I don't think it's misconstrued in any way. I think we get what you were up to, you know. I think your little shop is between the sheet manufacturer and the cross manufacturer. I'm just going to take a guess. I don't know. I can't say for sure. Just wild speculation on my behalf.
It's the old Republican line. They were just jokes.
They were just jokes. Don't you guys understand humor? No, not that kind of humor. The kind of racist humor? Sexist humor? No, jackass, I don't. And I gladly don't. And you know, this whole thing about, oh, well, you guys, it's a different time. Shut up. Dude, this was inappropriate 20 years before that, you were saying. I get it. You thought you were Mr. Witty, and I'll be pushing the envelope with your Mr. Conservative website. The reality is that you let out your true id. And If you then be proud of what you are. Don't sit there and say, you know, hey, I might have said a bunch of racist stuff. I might have danced on someone's grave. I might be one of the most misogynist candidates in the history of the country, but I'm proudly those things. Don't just sit there and insult our intelligence and then blame us for when we hear these things. We go, sweet Jesus, you're an ass. You guys, you with your eyes and ears and brains processing what I said, you're the real racists. Yeah, whatever. There you go, Hagedorn. Minnesota won. What do you want representing you? That? Because I can tell you right now, if you're I for the life of me, I can't understand why anyone in one would be voting for this guy. But then again, he did lose how many other times? Three times before this? Fourth time's a charm. We'll get you your own armband. You fail a fourth time there, you jerk. 952-946-6205. Stein, when we do return, it is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Find a wide selection of outdoor hearth products at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether you prefer wood or gas, Woodland Stoves has the fire to fit your home. Pizza aficionados know nothing matches masonry oven baking for capturing flavor and nutrition. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces can easily install one in your home or business. Enthusiasts use these ovens year-round for bread making, wood roasting, even grilling.
The mission and passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you. The way humans relate to fire is primordial. We have used fire to warm our bodies, cook our meals, and kindle our spirits. Our team has the know-how to do this in a clean-burning and environmentally smart way. Visit our store and experience the diversity. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin. See us online at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that fits and works for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
My favorite meal of the day is breakfast, and for morning vittles, I head to Milton's 36 and Douglas in Crystal. My favorite is either the rib scrambler, scrambled eggs with ribs, portobello mushrooms, jalapenos, and pepper jack cheese, or the steak and eggs. My wife loves the pepper jack creamy grits and the stuffed avocados with poached eggs cradled in avocado halves. The kids love the French toast or the stuffed French toast filled with fruit and cream cheese. Top it off with coffee done my way from the Milton's coffee bar, and I'm ready for the day. Breakfast is waiting for you at Milton's 36 and Douglas in Crystal.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, this is Paul Metza inviting you to a great new fall season on the Wall of Power Radio Hour. A lot of great shows coming up. This week we have George Marinelli. George has been playing with Bonnie Raitt for the last 25 years. He used to be in Bruce Hornsby in the Range. We're going to play some tracks off his new record, Burn It All Down. Talk about the music business, playing with Bonnie, James Taylor, and Bruce Hornsby this Saturday night at 6 p.m., Sunday at 4 p.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I'll post a link to the Hagedorn quotes. The Daily Beast has actually did a full expose on him. Minnesota won. You can do better than that. You really can. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Great local restaurants, made them locally sourced to get a great local meal, and money stays local. EatLocalMinnesota.com. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. You can find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul, TotallyIowa.com. IowaWatch.org is his great public service show he has down in Iowa. And, of course, he's joining us from the Palatial Broadcasting Complex of KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hey, Jeff.
So what are you doing around 11 o'clock tomorrow morning?
I could be available. What's up?
Well, it is the KXEL Celebrity Cow Milking Contest at the National Cattle Congress, and I would just love to see you milk cow.
I would. Oh, I've got the hands to get this job done. Where is this happening at?
This is in Waterloo.
Waterloo.
This is the 108th Annual National Cattle Congress. And the rule here is if you come up with the idea for the stupid thing, you don't have to milk a cow. So naturally, I came up with the idea, and I'm subjecting other people from the area to it. So always happy to have you join us.
Radio hint, if you want to be the host of it, come up with the idea for it.
I have to do is introduce people and stand back and watch the fun begin. So.
Laugh and mock. Well, that's how you do it. Speaking of laughing and mocking. What is your favorite passage from Woodward's book Fear so far? I mean, I shouldn't say favorite, but most jaw-dropping, most terrifying, most hilarious. Which passage is really sitting with you?
Well, I'm torn because there are just so many. The ones that were the very high-ranking officials – in essence, say that the president has a temperament of a child and they are trying to keep him from himself.
Madison Kelly, yeah.
Yeah, and my thought on that is because it is so consistent, Matt, with other things that we've heard. Now, I had a representative from the RNC on my radio program yesterday. And, of course, it was Woodward's an idiot and discredited and they were lumping his book in with the Wolf book and the Omarosa book. And I said, now, in fairness,
yes,
I understand what you're trying to do, and Mr. Wolf has some issues.
Yes.
Omarosa has some issues. You're going to have to do better than simply saying it's yet another book. Well, you know, during Obama, he was discredited. Okay. Give me some specifics other than books bad, presidential speech good. And, of course, there wasn't anything. All right? So what I'm saying is not only do the things we hear about in the book ring of truth, they are consistent with other things that we have heard. And I think the fact that it is Woodward who has shown, I believe anyway, I don't think he was a friend of Obama's, was he, during the time?
Not really, no.
You know, so I – I'm not saying that he is the pole star of American journalism in 2018, but I am saying you cannot simply lump all of this together. And what I love is the fact that Woodward said, I tried to get Trump to do the book. Trump was complaining that, well, he didn't come talk to me. He tried, but your people wouldn't let you talk to him for reasons that are probably apparent to about 300 million Americans who don't live at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Woodward's interviews he's done about the book has been very interesting because most of it is the process he went through. And he explains that, no, this is never kind of any gotcha moment. He just goes over to someone's house, sits down. The third or fourth time he sits down with that person, all of a sudden that person says, hey, here's a box of stuff. And he starts going through it. And it's a pretty amazing thing that he's actually built up this style. Yeah, boxes of stuff. He was talking about – it was on Colbert. He was talking about, yeah, some, you know, you meet him on the third or fourth time. All of a sudden, I got two big boxes of paperwork that I could show you. And he's like, sure. And he's not going to turn it away for any reason.
Goodness, no.
And everything – there's so many things right now that have already been backed up in that book. I think that there are three things which really – I know we can talk just briefly about each one of them. First of all is the one about Cohen. So he interviews Cohen November 2016 after he's won. He's getting basically a prepper course on the economy. And mm-hmm. Cohen says just anticipate the interest rates are going to have to go up. They're just going to have to go up at this point. And Trump floats the idea as like we'll just go borrow a bunch of money, hold on to it, and then after the interest rates go up, we'll cash it out, sell it, and make money. To which Cohen looks at him and says, you don't understand how the bond market works, do you? This would make a tremendous amount of deficit and then we would actually lose – the inflation rate would go much higher and the interest rates would have to go much higher. That's not how it works. To which then Trump said, well, no, we're the government. Print the money. To which Cohen who eventually became his national economic advisor and then left being the national economic advisor before Kudlow came in. But he he basically sort of looked at him and said, oh, my God, he was astounded. Trump clearly did not understand the basics of governmental finances. The second one is the interview thing, the practice interviews with Mueller and his own lawyers looking at him and telling him he has a disability because he can't answer these questions. And then going over and I think it was Cohn and the guy that with the mustache. Oh, that's no longer there. Ty Cobb.
The guy with the mustache.
You knew who I was talking about the second I said it. Ty Cobb and Cohen go over to Mueller, reenact Trump's fake testimony, explain we can't possibly let him do this because this will go so badly. He makes up stuff. This will go so badly. It's actually a national security threat. And you want to know the truth is I believe them as they're talking about if foreign countries hear about this. This is going to be a national security threat. But then go ahead.
A couple of things come to mind because I don't want to lose the thoughts. With regard to Cohen, and in that exchange, the president reminds you of a person who says, I can't be out of money. I still have checks left.
Yes.
Right?
What are you talking about? I got a whole checkbook here. There's still money. Exactly.
We're good. We are totally good. As long as I got checks, I got money. With regard to the practice interviews and it not going well, I don't think you have to be a lawyer to assume that that's how that was going to go. I mean, the thing with this president is that as a public figure, he has made a career out of framing things differently depending upon how it best serves him at the time. And that's why everything he does is the fastest, highest, strongest, and best. I mean, the recovery effort in Puerto Rico last year, we're not getting credit for how good that is.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's things that just are said because I think there – I'm no psychologist here. But I think there's a disconnect because when he gets into the mode, kind of the trash talk mode, which is the normal cadence – it just starts coming out, and there is no way you want that client under oath. And the best you can hope for is written answers, provided you're the last one to see them before he signs them. If he starts doing pencil edits,
Oh,
you've got an issue. But I interrupt you. There was a third.
Oh, no, there's your points are very spot on. And it just you can't allow him to go talk in the sense being is that Mueller's never going to get the right answer anyway. He probably already knows what the answers are himself. And all he's doing is basically setting up for a massive constitutional crisis to allow him to go testify. The third thing is the one that I think is actually the most damaging to his base. And that is the insults towards Jeff Sessions. And then we talked about all the other insults. I mean, he called Priebus the little rat, and he called H.R. McMaster the beer salesman. But he when he went after Sessions, and this has been confirmed by Axios's Jonathan Swan, he confirmed this too, that he called him mentally retarded, and then he also called him the dumb Southerner. And yeah. And the thing which is really kind of remarkable is that if you're a conservative Christian, here now you are confronted with yet another incredibly unacceptable, insult by the president who you have hung your hat on that you are going to have to defend. But then it's the base, this rural base that supposedly loves him. And for him, especially in the southern United States where they vote Republican just because they're born voting Republican, for him to start going down and start calling people dumb Southerners – I got to believe that's going to reverberate at some point in the polls for these guys.
At some point, and that is the key on the whole thing. The Solid South is not as solid, and it has varied at times. And so it's pretty clear that you can't just dismiss it by saying, he's just a dumb Southerner, because you could lose it. To your point, you could very much lose that part of the country. The thing that I'm going to go back to, it's not going to hurt Trump because he's not on the ballot in 2018. Will it hurt rank-and-file Republicans? I don't really think so, because the base knew what they were getting when they voted for him. And now it's a matter of, do you like the policies and are you willing to put up with it? And I'm not sure that the cup has run over in terms of we can't stand this anymore. These same people who voted for Trump and are doing their best to justify the vote now voted for him because the choice was Hillary Clinton. I'm not talking about during the primaries. I'm talking about during the general election. And until there's somebody by name against Donald Trump, be it a Republican or be it a Democrat, you're not going to see people bailing because they don't have to. Now, the thing about Jeff Sessions that I think bothers some people beyond what you said, which is totally accurate, the first mainstream politician to jump the mainstream ship and board the Trump yacht, the SS Trumpy, okay, was Jeff Sessions. And so for that loyalty, he's rewarded with a government position, attorney general. And he is carrying out the president's agenda on a number of things, including narcotics and to some degree immigration. But because he didn't do the president's bidding on Russia and collusion, now he's an elf, he's a dumb Southerner, he's mentally retarded. Those are the phrases the president has used. I think it's the guy who demands loyalty shows such disloyalty.
Yes, he does.
And that's why you see so many Republicans being careful here, because they're saying, the president should have an attorney general he trusts, but boy, if he gets rid of Jeff Sessions before the election, we're going to have a problem. No. And that's all very well true, because, how many times has Sessions said, why? Why did I endorse this guy? Why did I bother to go out on a limb? Because I could have still been a U.S. senator. We would have had the seat. Because remember, they lost the seat.
Yes, it did.
Of it. So I think that the lack of reciprocal loyalty is an issue. I mean, yeah, it's fine for Cohen to roll and for Trump to say, boy, that's loyalty for you. Well, how about giving up on Sessions yourself? And again, I just go back to the point, and I may be proven wrong, but when you quite appropriately say for all those Trump backers in 2016, when is enough enough? enough is enough when there's a credible opponent and alternative for them to vote for.
I think Jeff Sessions hates the fact that he took this job, and it was ambition that took him that. But I also think this, in the South, and we've got to take a break here, but in the South, if a Democrat has the guts to use that against the Republicans, the dumb Southerner comment, and starts using that in ads, that's a tough counterpunch. There's not really one for them. It just is there a Democrat that's got the guts to put that out there? We'll take
you got to get a Democrat wearing hee-haw-like overalls with straw in his teeth and say, I apparently am what Donald Trump thinks all of us dumb Southerners look like. And that's the visual, and that's the optic. And you're right, they can clean up.
Oh, they could clean up with that. I'll tell you what, when we come on back, let's talk about the House and the Senate, because I think these races are turning interesting, especially since primaries have ended in some states. There's some interesting shifts in the numbers. Jeff Stein is joining us, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive in New Brighton. I've been in business long enough to know that if you want to stand out, you better be the best. That's why I've assembled a top-notch team of automotive specialists who do the job right the first time. Bringing your car or truck to PJW Automotive is an investment in the future of your vehicle. Try us once and you'll see it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. My family conquered the family vacation thanks to my Toyota Sienna. This last summer, I drove 16 straight hours in a single day, heading to the coast, a test which challenges even the most comfortable vehicles. The Sienna passed with flying colors. Roomy, comfortable, and easy to drive, it made the long day a piece of cake. And when driving in a new town, the Toyota Sienna gives me the comfort and reliability I need. Test drive one yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Summer's over and the kids are back in school. That means you can call Zero Res to clean up all the dirt your family dragged in from the outside. Their patented powered water will clean up the toughest messes and won't leave behind any smelly dirt-attracting residue. I even had them clean up a mess earlier this summer from a few nameless friends who got a little clumsy with the wings and barbecue sauce. Just call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com and ask for the AM 950 special. Three-room ZeroRes abides starting at $149. ZeroRes, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us for his usual Wednesday visit. So, Jeff, I've been kind of – one of the things I value greatly about you is your understanding of numbers and the numbers of this game. And when you're talking about a national presidential election where it's a one-on-one race, you know, there is some, you know, numbers there. And at 538 actually pointed out within the parameters of what they're putting out, the outcome of this election was very much within, you know, within their parameters, what they predicted with right. Trump winning. They pointed that out. This is not unusual, as much as Republicans like to say they shocked the world and all pollsters are wrong. No, the polls actually matched up. I mean, there was some variance, but not much.
Right.
When you look at the poll numbers, especially because I was reading a story this morning about how the Senate now, they feel that the U.S. Senate is definitely within play for the Democrats to take control of that, which is obviously something I don't think even the Republicans thought was possible. When you go and look at the numbers on this whole thing, there seems to be a trend which is happening. When the primaries were taking place, these races were close. And I'm going to use Minnesota 3, which is we have Dean Phillips taking on Eric Paulson. And at that point, when those primaries were going on, before things were settled, it was a pretty much a toss-up race. Now they have that race definitely within Phillips's corner, that the – I think it's like a 4-1 chance that Phillips is going to win it. It's like 6-1 or 5-1 that Jason Lewis is going to lose his seat to Angie Craig. This is what 538 is saying. and you're seeing these numbers kind of spread out a little bit. Am I mistaken, or do you think that after the primaries, once we got down to those two candidates in each of these individual races, that the real Trump effect is starting to take place and we're starting to see distance? Or in the case of Steve King's race down in Iowa, which was a 20-point race, which is now a 10-point race, that in some cases it's narrowing?
I don't want to overstate the Trump effect, because I think that a lot of these folks who are in trouble have made their own beds. I mean, you've got Steve King in Iowa, who makes outlandish statements about races and immigration. He refuses to debate his opponent, any opponent, and there's a little bit of dissatisfaction about that. You've got Iowa First District, and you've got an incumbent Republican seeking his third term in a heavily Democrat district, and now he's got an ethics investigation. I mean, a lot of these people are outpolling Trump in 2016. So the fact that they're in trouble is not a Trump is lack of Trump coattails, because to some degree they helped Trump. They have their own problems, and there are so many of them that it's just become, you know, I hate saying every race is local, but every race really is local, and they just don't have the mobilized base of support. Now, dissatisfaction to some degree with Trump and those people could lead those folks to stay home. And that's the thing Republicans up and down the line, there's your numbers point, they're deathly afraid of.
Yes.
Turnout, all turnout. And if the Democrats mobilize like they are threatening to do, the Republicans don't have the Trump lightning rod. But more importantly, they just don't have the stomach for it. They're tired of all of this.
So maybe it's a better way to say it is this, is that, okay, so when you're running up until 2016, the Democrats got hammered because it's a Clinton Democrat or an Obama Democrat. But the minute that Trump won, and the minute that there really was kind of a non-one individual character to tie all Democrats to, the coin flipped, and then it became Trump Republicans. And when you have that narrative, and granted, you might not be a Trump effect, but I think what is happening is that there's a natural, you know, drag that happens under that position, because you're the party in control, you have right. The White House, and so your results are being expected, regardless of whether or not that person blames Trump. It's. I think that's kind of what's going on there a little bit.
No, I think that's a fair point, and it's a sense that Republicans like to claim certain things, but they're just not sure they want to claim the president. Now, you get some of these individuals, and they are just doubling down. But again, unless you're in a district where Trump really helped you last time, you're going to be better to just kind of run on your own, because, yes, there was a huge anti-Hillary movement in 2016, and these House members keep saying, you don't vote for us, you're going to have Speaker Nancy Pelosi. How are you going to like that? Well, there are enough Democrats moving away from that I don't think it has credibility. Plus, Nancy Pelosi is not the same, to use the phrase boogeyman, that Hillary Clinton was. It doesn't lead to the same response, although they're trying. And so putting that whole strategy in that bucket, I don't think that's going to be successful for them.
Well, and it won't. And once again, then you talk about, charges of racism, charges of ethics complaints, financial fraud. That's all hurting them as well across the board. Jeff Stein, once again, find his books at Common Good Books, totallyiowa.com. Iowa Politics Report, we'll get that posted later on tonight. Enjoy the milking tomorrow, though. Okay, Jeff?
I'm just going to watch and have a good time. But thank you.
Take care. We got Doug Padgett up next. Till tomorrow. See ya.